keyboard.
It's yeah, like... the vocal part makes sort of establishes that the scale of the piece suggests it's in G, but it never ever goes to G.
I didn't plan that.
This is Songs to Discuss
with your daughter,
with Willa Krishnaswamy
and Ravi Krishnaswamy, a dad and daughter theme.
Welcome back, listeners.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, Willa.
Nice to see you. Or I see you every day.
So. Nice to see you.
That was weird.
We live
weird.
Together.
Yeah. Well, what's up, I guess? Are you excited for this episode?
I'm very excited for this episode.
Are you prepared?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. I mean, I also hope the listeners hope so, too, because they don't want to be listening to false information.
Yeah. We have been so excited to get all your messages about the podcast and to see that people are listening to it.
Yeah, and we just hit a new milestone. We hit 100 plays.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Yeah.
So let's take a moment for our sponsor message.
Okay, so... if you didn't get the message from the episode title, this episode we're going to be talking about the song Golden by Harry Styles. If you don't know Harry Styles, he's from One Direction, a boy band, and this song is from his latest album, Fine Line. And I think Daddy's excited for this one because you love this song.
Yeah, when it first started playing on Hits 1, which we always mention is our normal drive time radio station.
Yep.
I was definitely struck by how it stood out from everything else on Hits 1 at
definitely.
The time.
Definitely. That's one of the reasons why I chose this song, because it's really interesting as a pop song.
Yeah, it's not produced like a lot of the other pop songs on the station.
Definitely
and
not.
I didn't know much about Harry Styles, to be honest. I feel like I'm a little... old to be aware of him, and so it was fun to kind of find out.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it's not surprising because pop stars always have the coolest names ever or cool stage names, but Harry Styles is his real name.
That's his actual name.
Like Harry Styles' style of music is, like, if you're trying to say that, it's like a tongue twister. Harry Styles' styles of music. Let's get back on topic.
I thought it was a pen name. One of the things I did to prepare for this conversation was actually read a very long interview between Harry Styles and Rob Sheffield.
Oh, he's our friend.
Yes, Rob is somebody who I first met down in Charlottesville, Virginia, when I was at UVA. He was there too, and we've reconnected in the last 5 or 10 years as he's been at a lot of shows for the Sons and Heirs, my Smiths and Morrissey tribute band.
Shout out to Rob.
Yes, Rob, hello. If you're out there and you're listening to this, maybe we can get you on the show sometime. That would be pretty exciting, because Rob Sheffield happens to write for Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
And I remember the first magazine subscription that I ever paid for with my own paper out money when I was like 13 or 14 was Rolling Stone.
Oh, nice.
I was so excited. So there was a big piece on Harry Styles in there, and talks about him hanging out in L.A. And
he's British, though, right?
He is.
He's a Brit.
Yeah. Do you know the story behind One Direction?
No, I do not. I mean, let's not make this episode long, but I'm guessing if you're going to bring it up, it must be, like, interesting and relevant. So
they all were kids... who were auditioning for the X Factor in England, which is like a...
like, basically like American Idol or The Voice.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, when I Googled Harry Styles, I was reading his bio on Wikipedia, and he had said, like, his first, like, public appearance was auditioning for X Factor, and I was like, what is that? So then I Googled that, and...
So I think they were all auditioning for... as solo... artists, but the management company that runs that show decided to put them together into a boy band.
Oh, so they didn't actually form the boy band. They were like...
they were thrown together by Simon Cowell, I think.
Simon Cowell. I don't know who that is. But.
Yeah. He's one of the X Factor people.
Oh,
so
nice.
Sort of like a music industry person. I might be wrong about Simon Cowell, but they were thrown together by the X Factor, and then they blew up. And apparently, Harry Styles was the one who suggested the name One Direction.
Oh, that's cool. I mentioned this earlier, but if you don't know, One Direction is the boy band that Harry Styles was in before he became the Harry Styles.
If you watch their oldest videos, it's clear that he's probably going to be the one with the hugest solo career, because he's getting a lot of the lead lines and the camera's always on him. So it was clear early on that Harry Styles was going to break out.
Yeah. He is his own artist now, and he has this, like, he has three, or no, actually four pretty big songs. Maybe more, but from what I've heard, he has, like, Adore You, Watermelon Sugar, Falling, and this song.
Yeah, and my friend, I have a friend named Dan who has a daughter named Mona, and they actually requested for us to talk about Watermelon Sugar sometime.
Oh, we'll have to do that. But let's get in.
Okay.
We've been having lots of side conversations.
Yes, Willa.
So before we get into the questions, I always have an intro note of how the song makes me feel. And it feels kind of like, and then you can say your intro note, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it feels for me kind of untraditional compared to most of the pop songs we hear now. I mean, so it interests me kind of what subgenre is in, because like pop, I mean, isn't like a, like it's a genre, but pop just stands for popular. So anything that's like trending is pop music, I guess. But
yeah.
If it's like considered pop, it's.
So I heard it and I was like, oh man, this is a total ripoff of Fleetwood Mac.
We teased it in our last episode, and yeah.
And then I read later on that not only is he a big fan of Fleetwood Mac, he's actually friends with the drummer Mick Fleetwood, and he's really good friends with Stevie Nicks, and Stevie Nicks is a big fan of Harry Styles. So there's a whole connection between the two artists.
Well, that is like, yeah. Well, that's actually good for me to know, because I have a question about it.
So should
Mac.
We...
But yeah, let's get into the questions.
Well, we need to play an excerpt.
Yeah, my bad. I was not focusing there. Do you have any intro notes before we get started by playing an excerpt?
No.
Okay, cool. Let's play. Less like digital sounds in the background. Definitely no trap beat.
No trap beat.
Yeah.
What? How does it make you feel emotionally?
I don't know. It's a very vibey song. It's an upbeat song.
Vibey.
It's like hard to say it because it's not like a song like, I don't know, like a No Tears Left to Cry song. It's like not a song like that. It's more of like a just a upbeat song.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, I don't have any, like, specific emotions, but...
I think it's a little bit melancholy.
Yeah, what do you
mean? Like, it's bright, but it's also kind of sad at the same time, doesn't it? Like, it feels like...
What do you mean by melancholy? I always forget that word. I always think of, like, a melon, like an edible melon, right? Hear that word. So it's hard for me to think of the definition off the top of my head.
Melancholy is sort of wistful, sad, not tragic, but...
Yeah, not, like, horrible, but, like, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Why is it sad, though? Because it's, like, it's not in a minor key of what I know. I mean, It sounds like it's not in a minor key.
Do you want to dig into the harmony of this?
Well, I want to get into the questions, but if you want to dig into the harmony,
no, we'll get to
let's do
harmony
that.
when we tackle the questions.
Okay. So my first question is, what are some major songs that you think really influenced the way Harry Styles wrote this song, or Harry Styles and his songwriters wrote this song?
So we've started talking about Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac.
And of course, I was growing up in the 80s. And 90s, at the very tail end of their career as a, you know, band that had songs on the radio that were famous. And I always thought of Fleetwood Mac as sort of like old people music, like a baby boomer band, like, ugh. And then later on in my career, as I became more of an experienced
musicologist.
Yeah, songwriter, producer. I really dug into those records because they were, especially Rumors, was really influential in how they approached the recording of the record and made these really beautiful, perfect, clean pads of backing vocals and pads of guitars. The way they layered guitars and vocals on Rumors was very groundbreaking at the time, and it influenced a lot of artists later on. So anyway,
to specify.
So when I when I heard this, I was like, "Oh yeah, this is a Fleetwood Mac thing." And then I started Googling around to see what song people thought it was ripping off. And the only one I found referenced in a blog post was Chains. But I didn't really agree with that. I actually found like two different songs two or three songs that I think go into this song from Fleetwood Mac's catalog.
Okay, can we hear them just to kind of?
Yeah. So the first, let's talk about the harmony.
Okay. Yeah, definitely, because you seem excited about that.
Yeah. So what he's doing in this song is exactly what Fleetwood Mac does on a couple of their very famous songs, which is this totally cyclic, never-ending loop of...
I feel like I don't have a very large vocabulary, so what is cyclic?
Cyclic, cycle.
Going in a loop. I knew that sounded very similar to that word.
A cyclic, never-ending loop is, like, that's actually redundant. Okay. You can just say a never-ending loop.
Okay, well, my apologies, listeners.
But it's just a cycle of four and five. Of the four chord and the five chord.
I'm not the expert here, but a loop that keeps coming on is like when I think he's singing this. He's like, da 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 da. I'm not doing a very good thing, but like you know what I mean. The thingy in like the beginning that's very emphasized, and then in the chorus. Do you know what I mean? The part where he's like, da da da.
The vocal pad. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me play this on the keyboard. So if you hear that part on its own,
oh yeah,
you would actually probably harmonize it as a G chord. But what he does in this song is he harmonizes it with a C chord going up to a D chord and back to a C chord and up to a D chord. And what it forms is like a suspended harmony. Bless you.
I stepped away from the mic.
So let me play it. So So do you hear that?
Yeah.
So the vocal part...
Definitely. That's more clear on a keyboard.
It's yeah, like, the vocal part makes... sort of establishes that the scale of the piece suggests it's in G, but it never, ever goes to G.
I didn't plan that, listeners.
So in a G scale, in G major...
Wait, question. Why do... What is it that makes the listeners think it's in G?
Because...
You might have already mentioned this. Sorry, I'm just like... kind of tired today.
This is the melody. Golden. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. So what you're getting here is you're getting a C natural, but you're getting an F sharp. And that, so you only have one sharp in the scale, which would land you in G major. And in Western tonal harmony, this is very basic Western tonal harmony. In when you're like writing in a major key, that key is your home key. That's where you feel sort of resolved, and yeah. You feel like everything's calm and done. And then what you do is you use four chords and five chords a lot as dominant chords,
yeah,
which want a resolution. So you hear a lot of harmony that sounds like this. G, here's the one chord. Here's the four chord. Here's the five chord. That's a very straightforward progression, right?
Yeah.
One, four, five. So in this song, we're only on the four. And on the five. And I know I'm belaboring this point, but this is like a thing that Fleetwood Mac did on a couple of their big songs. So let me play you, I'm going to play you a little bit of the Stevie Nicks song Dreams, which is on Rumors. So you hear it goes from F to G.
Yeah.
But it feels unresolved. So what is Stevie Nicks doing here to make you feel like it's in the chorus?
She's going from four to five.
Right, harmonically, but what is she doing? What is the band doing? What is the producer doing?
It's layering more tracks.
Yeah, yeah, more guitars, more vocals. Mostly more vocals, right?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Styles is doing in Golden. Golden stays on the four and five chord.
Yeah, that, he's like, nah, nah, nah.
And then
wait,
that,
are you talking about in when he's like, da da da?
Yep.
Yeah, because yep. At first I thought it was like a track, but then I realized, oh, it's his voice.
Yep, singing. It's him the whole time. So the other example I do want to play from Fleetwood Mac is for the drums. Like, how would you describe the drums in this song?
I don't really listen that closely to the drums, honestly, or I didn't, honestly, but. I mean, they're very 80s, 90s, I feel like.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is it's a very...
Well, see, the reason why I said it's 80s and 90s is when I listen to a lot of 80s and 90s music, they're like, oh, no, that was a bad example. It's like, one, two, three, four, dun, dun, dun. like, well, you're seeing, like, what I'm doing with my hands. It's, like, this kind of...
Okay, well, first of all...
Maybe you could, if you understand what I'm trying to say, maybe you could describe it to people who are listening, because I don't have a very good description.
She's flailing her arms wildly.
Well, no, I'm not saying the drums are wild. I'm saying they're, like...
Are they electronic or acoustic?
Well, they're acoustic, and okay, that's why they sound very 80s and 90s, because you don't really hear acoustic drums in pop music. Second of all, you don't really hear acoustic drums in pop music if you listen to pop music, but when I hear 80s and 90s songs, there's acoustic drums, and it's like...
Well, so that beat is also very, it's very Mick Fleetwood. It has this restrained... energy to it.
Wait, is Mick Fleetwood someone in Fleetwood Mac or not Mick?
Yeah,
Fleetwood?
the band is named after the drummer and the bass player. The drummer is Mick Fleetwood and the bass player is
like Mac something.
Mick V, yeah. I better remind myself what his first name is. Oh, John Mick V.
In fact,
their story is really interesting because they started as a blues band and they had a couple of other front men like this. They had this guy Peter Green, who's like a really good blues guitar player, and then he left the band and they were recording in the studio and they saw Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks recording an album together and they liked him so much they asked them to join the band, and then the band completely changed its sound around the songwriting of Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, I'm getting the impression that we should do a Fleetwood Mac episode, even though it's not pop. It's
well, this, like, is our Fleetwood Mac episode.
I mean, it's golden, but, like...
So, like, a rock beat, a straight-ahead rock beat might sound like this. You know, like a very steady backbeat.
Yeah.
But what this drum beat does is a very Mick Fleetwood
thing. Wait, specify,
thing.
Is it... Is the drum beat that they're using in Golden?
In Golden, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very, very Fleetwood. Listen, it's... Very open.
Yeah, that's very open.
And that beat comes right out of another song from Rumours called Go Your Own Way. So I'm going to play a little bit of that and then a little bit of the beat from Golden. So
okay, yeah. When you're done, I just, obviously this podcast is about analyzing. I just have a ton of other questions that I want to get to, and I don't want to spend too much time on just one, so we can have a detailed explanation on our others. So.
Yes, boss. Okay.
Well,
I'm trying to explain to you these drums, okay? Listen to the two examples. Okay, so here's Go Your Own Way. Here I was playing off the snare and onto the toms.
Yeah, I hear that. Very
now
similar.
Here's Golden.
Very similar. Yeah.
Again, playing off the snare and onto the toms.
And Fleetwood Mac is very influential of the song. Now I see it. And actually, this was actually on my list, the last question, but... Are we ready to move on?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, but since we're talking about Fleetwood Mac, because I have one more question about Fleetwood Mac. Using what you know about Harry Styles' style of music and...
Styles' style.
Sorry, that's a tough question. And Fleetwood Mac's style of music, do you think these two artists would enjoy doing like a duet or a featurette or like a collab sometime?
Definitely. Well, and...
I mean, you're not Harry Styles or Mick Fleetwood, but...
But... According to what I read in the that long piece by Rob Sheffield, they're actually
pretty good friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's friends with Harry Styles is friends with Mick Fleetwood. He's friends with Stevie Nicks, and in fact, there's some sort of Stevie Nicks song that has become famous again because of Harry Styles on TikTok.
We should check that out. We have TikTok.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Yeah.
I would expect. You know, I would expect. To hear more stuff out of them that maybe is a collaboration.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not if not collaboration, maybe Harry Styles will just have more songs that sound like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It must be cool to have, like, a Stevie Nicks kind of friend.
Yeah.
Like, oh, go into my contacts. Oh, I'm going to call Stevie Nicks. Like.
Well, you know. Lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Yeah. Well, these questions are kind of combined, but they're also kind of separate questions. We talked about this in our Holy episode by Justin Bieber. So this is kind of like a ripoff of that question, but I thought I'd ask it anyway. So what message do you think he's trying to get across with this song, if there is a message? And then, follow-up question, what I meant to say, was much like Holy, what I was saying that we talked about, does the music video for Golden actually kind of relate to the meaning of the song? Because, I mean, there was a whole channel called MTV when you were a kid, or it still is around, and music videos are kind of used to, like, express a message with the song, or just sometimes to dance along to the song. But with Holy, it was kind of like a short film, as you recall talking about. So I'm wondering, with the music video of this song, and with the meaning and the message.
Well, it's a really cool video, and he's obviously got a great sense of style and is a fashion icon. But I don't think that there was anything narrative about the video that tied in too closely with the lyrics of the song. He's basically just singing to the camera in a lot of beautiful coastal locations in different outfits. What it did make me think about was how the production style seems so related to the soft rock California sound that was established in the 70s. And as we've been talking about Fleetwood Mac, they were a, you know, transplanted band in California and part of the scene, along with James Taylor and Jackson Brown and a bunch of studio musicians called the Mellow Mafia and the Eagles. There was just this whole scene of mellow soft rock, and that's what we feel like when we hear the recording. And so I think the message of the song is sort of about a relationship that was really beautiful but is over, but he's sort of seems like he's kind of like basking in the memory of it.
Yeah.
He's not like in the relationship.
He's
And that's why there's like that sort of wistfulness to the harmony, and there's that wistfulness to the way it's produced.
Yeah. So, cool. Yeah, not that this is kind of random fact about the music video. Dad, do you remember? I feel like it was like 2 weeks ago or something. We were riding in the car listening to Hits 1, and one of the DJs was like, I think it was like Harry Styles is having it up in Italy filming this video. Do you remember?
Wait, he filmed this in Italy?
I remember can you Google it? Because I remember one of the DJs on our Hits 1 station saying he filmed it in Italy.
Okay, let's Google. Let's go to the Google-ator. You're right, the Amalfi Coast in
is
Italy.
That in Italy? Yeah.
Yeah. Also
right.
A beautiful coast. To drive along.
Well, anyways, little fun fact if you wanted to know. On to my last question. I have a little less questions than last time, but on to my last question. So what instruments / possibly digital sounds did he use to construct the music in the background? So I don't know if you prepared this because I let you read the outlined questions, but so translation of that question. So like if you listened to just the instrumental, what's that music built off of, like in the background?
It's really straightforward rock instrumentations. Drums, electric bass, acoustic guitars, some electric guitars, a lot of layers of his own vocals. It seems like there's some sort of bell kind of keyboard in there. But
I don't know if you have the instrumental handy, but I was gonna say maybe we could listen to it.
We should pull up the instrumental. Let's see if we can find it. There's that cool little Rhodes melody in the beginning that sort of goes like this.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I don't think it's that electric piano exactly in the instrumental, but I think it's an instrument kind of like that, or like a digital instrument kind of similar to that.
There's some beautiful chords in the beginning. This is actually a good opportunity also to mention there's one other huge influence in this instrumental sound, which we didn't get to yet in the example, but I'll skip ahead to because I want to mention it. So listen to this guitar riff.
Okay.
Pretty cool, right?
That's good, yeah. What was the influence of that? Because you're about to mention that.
That's totally George Harrison.
I'm very embarrassed, but I have no idea what
Is. What? George? John, Paul, George, and Ringo?
Oh, George Harrison. No, oh, yeah, from the Beatles. I thought you were talking about, like, some other different George. George, Paul, John, Ringo. Yeah, from the Beatles. Of course I know him.
So that guitar riff in there, it's so George Harrison. It's got that beautiful slide melancholy to it. It reminds me of a song from his first solo album, All Things Must Pass, a song called My Sweet Lord. I'm going to play a little excerpt from that now.
Okay. We're like 6 seconds in and I already hear the similarity.
And this is just the acoustic strumming, but now listen, right here.
Oh my gosh, is that like the same instrument? It's very, very similar. And I don't play the guitar and I just know it. I just hear it. It's like...
Yeah.
I'm not like 100%. I'm 99.9 sure.
Well, it's very influenced by that playing. And I like that because I'm a big George Harrison fan. So I heard that. I heard those Mick Fleetwood drums. It was all a nice combination. It was a nice change from the standard stuff on the pop radio.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that was my last question. I learned a lot. This is very enjoyable. I mean, always it is. But did you enjoy?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I want to mention one other thing about the harmony of the song.
You could just keep going on and on. But don't worry, I'm
so
excited.
I'm pulling out my guitar for this because my favorite thing about the song is the use of the major seventh chord. Now, you remember from taking piano what a dominant seven sounds like, right?
Yeah.
It's like... Mm-hmm. But a major seven goes like this. And it has that... B at the top.
That's kind of,
in C.
Yeah, are you going back to the thing where it's like 4 or 5?
Yeah, so when the way that the guitars strum those 4 and 5 chords, it's a major seven chord, which I use a lot in my own songwriting. Golden Papa ba da 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 da. Hear that?
Yeah. You could do a good cover of this song.
It would be a really fun song to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, and maybe you can sing it.
Ah! No, that's your thing.
Okay. So,
Yeah, that's the episode. Oh, as you know, in every episode we tease the next song we're going to do. And the next song we're going to do is Delicate by Taylor Swift. I'm excited for this one. So what are my suggestions? Dad, are you excited?
I'm excited. And it's not a song that she just put out. It's from a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's from 2017.
Yeah, but it's got some cool production things that we'll be able to talk about.
Yeah. Before you go off of iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're listening, don't forget to review. You can put any questions and any requests you have.
Yeah, we should probably start getting like Facebook page and Twitter page and Instagram page.
Maybe
and
all email that address.
Stuff. Yeah, an email address. But you know where to find us. Put any sort of questions or comments in the comments of the podcast. We love hearing from you, and we're really excited that you're listening.
Yeah. 5-star it, review, like all that jazz.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.